This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
I am Lauren Spiegelmeyer. I am the founder and executive director of Behavior Hub, which is an organization that addresses youth mental and behavioral health in school systems and in families, and a professor for University of Penn under their trauma-informed invested program.
Wow. That's a lot going on.
A lot going on. That's only a small snippet.
And you started your business how long ago?
It officially started last August. There wasn't really any movement until then.
How's it going?
Prior to it, was just planning and conception.
You good?
Yeah, it's really growing. It's almost more than I can handle on my own, which is good.
Yeah, you know, entrepreneurship. It's like that, especially when you start out with something on your own.
And where are you working with these students?
I'm living in Baltimore, so there's definitely some work done in that area, and then also here in Lancaster, and apparently in Wilmington, Delaware, and Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Nice.
Yes, you're floating around.
Yes.
Describe like an example of what the work looks like.
Yeah, for sure. So if I'm working with a school, it's typically around dealing with kids with more challenging behaviors and helping teachers and faculty and staff to understand why these behaviors are occurring, and then what are some things that we can put in place that address the need and the issue and not just the symptom of the behavior, which in other medical and behavioral fields, we have been dealing with symptoms of behavior. So addressing the real true need and issue at its heart, and same approach with the family as well.
That's cool. So, if Diggs and I have any behavior issues, could you please just kind of let us know at the end?
Deal with that after the show, but yeah.
Thanks. Just kind of, keep the antenna up.
Appreciate it.
We're really glad to have you here on 5x5. This is our 10th episode.
Hey.
We're celebrating. Ding, 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 ding. We're celebrating our 10th episode today. Glad to have you with us.
You're like a special guest.
If you haven't heard the show before, we are going to be presented by Frank the iPad with five random topics. We're going to talk about those topics for 5 minutes each. And then we'll hear a nice little jingle, and that will tell us to move on to the next topic. So it's if you have any topics, you know, you can send us an email, do@thesweetcore.com, and suggest a topic for an upcoming show.
Yeah.
Right now, though, it's time for episode 10 of the 5x5 podcast. Our first topic today is coffee.
Ooh. Yeah. I have some right here.
The nectar of the gods.
Oh, well, technically it's an Americano, but same thing.
That works. It's made out of coffee.
Yeah.
Made from beans.
Lauren, what do you think about coffee?
So interesting. I am actually trying to cut coffee out of my life because I'm moving into a more Ayurvedic practice of well-being, and caffeine highly affects my balance. So I have been doing a lot of research on what are things that taste just like coffee but are not coffee.
Oh yeah, what are you coming up with?
So Four Sigmatic is a mushroom elixir blend. That one's not too bad. Rasa is another herbal blend, which I actually really, really like that one. And then trying to find some real good decaf coffees that are made naturally.
Oh, right.
There's a good one in Baltimore by Thread.
You're saying a lot of words that I don't understand.
Yeah, what was the I word? Ayurvedic?
A word. Ayurvedic. It's an ancient Indian practice of medicine, essentially, well-being.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you said it was like a mushroom. So it's basically like somebody's taking these different things, putting them together and trying to make a coffee-like substance.
Yes.
And I mean, you said one was okay.
Or
have you been a coffee drinker for a long time?
Yes. I love coffee.
So that's got to suck.
It does suck.
I mean, I quit. Look, I'm on the way. I quit drinking 5 years ago. Like, and if I were to try to drink like an NA beer, like it would just be a disaster. So I can't even imagine. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even imagine what that would be like. But good for you. Decaf is I've heard like something like 10%.
Yeah, it's got a little bit. My concern was more like, what are we doing to the coffee to make it decaffeinated?
Sure.
So some different processes are with chemicals, but I'm trying to find ones that are more...
With water.
Water. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I did a little research in that years past. It's fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it is fascinating.
I was going to say, I've never even thought about how you get decaffeinated coffee. But so my question was going to be, does it is it the taste of coffee that you're missing? Like, you couldn't just switch to tea? Okay.
Yes, 100%.
Gotcha.
Because I've tried that too.
What? Switching to tea?
Just like drinking tea? Yeah, you've seen me fail. Yes. You've seen me walk over, get the bag, and then walk back over to the coffee thing.
This is the benefits of co-working.
Well, watching me suffer, watching me fail.
Yes. And no, then I tempt you with the coffee that I bring back. That's like lukewarm.
Now in the candy factory, we have the espresso machine. We have people making, we have people making lattes. We have people doing espresso shots all day. Mm-hmm. It's really bad for us in a good way.
We're really productive, though. So
no, we are.
I would argue that that is true, but that our bodies are internally suffering.
No, there's no question about it that I'm destroying myself. I mean, there's no.
Yeah.
And I was a decaf drinker for a couple of years because I loved coffee, loved the ritual, mm-hmm. and I had some throat issues. And my doctor was like, "You're dehydrating yourself. You need mm-hmm. to drink a lot more water. You need to cut back on coffee. And caffeine apparently is a dehydrating force. At least that's my knowledge of it, right? So I was like, I'll just drink decaf. And I did that for a while. And then, man, once I got back to the whole buzz of caffeine and whatever, it was just, it's just downhill. Like, I drink 2 cups in the morning, come to work, drink 2-3 cups before lunch, go to lunch, come back, have the blues a little bit, the food coma.
Yep.
And I'd usually drink 2 or 3 cups in the afternoon.
That's amazing.
I kind of do that too.
Yeah, you totally do.
Yeah,
you'll be looking at me.
Although I don't start in the morning. I usually, because I wait. I stopped making coffee at home because I knew I could get it
here,
and then it keeps me from getting up to like 12, which
I will just drink that stuff all day.
Yeah,
like I just will keep.
It's a little bit. What else? So besides being
addicted to it?
No. What besides dehydrating you? Are there other effects of caffeine that I should be aware of?
I think Lauren would know.
I don't know, really other smart. Than just it being like a stimulant and keeping you active. I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to fuck with your sleep.
Yeah, it probably.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I think no caffeine after noon is what I have read over and over and over again. It's the half-life.
Yeah, and that's
so, that one up.
Yeah. I follow that rule. I just pick my time zone. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. Yeah, but then, I typically go through, three or four, I've got I'm holding a water bottle, but you can't, that
nobody can see. Yeah, right.
I usually go through 3 or 4 of these, while I'm
with
drinking
the water?
Coffee. So I'm, yeah, it's filled with water.
Well, you're balancing it out.
So I don't, but I should probably pay more attention. And
I don't know. I feel like I really wanted to talk about the glory of coffee more than the bad part of it. But that's probably not going to happen.
The beauty of the coffee houses around Lancaster, we could mention that for a hot second.
Coffee, yeah. I mean, just the whole culture that's, 30 years, you know, 30 years ago, there was the culture was just so different. I mean, it was still, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Which is a completely different, just not the same.
No.
We've come a long way. And in fact, we're coming a long way with this episode by going to topic number 2. On this episode's 5x5, which is Facebook.
Ooh.
One addictive evil to another.
We should really start with Jason on this one, and you'll see why in a second. What are your thoughts on Facebook?
I could go on and on and on. But so I quit Facebook, just like Lauren is quitting coffee, about 3 months ago.
Okay.
So I watched the Great Hack. Okay. A lot of people have watched now the Netflix documentary, I guess late summer. And I had been toying with the whole idea of do I want to continue with social media? It's just such a cesspool at times. Mm-hmm. And so I watched The Great Hack, and The Great Hack was a documentary about Cambridge Analytica,
okay.
the big data company that back in the 2016 election had worked for the Trump administration or the Trump mm-hmm. campaign, and in a nutshell, they hijacked user information from Facebook. And when I say hijacked, they were able to mine information from people who were using certain games or quizzes or apps mm-hmm. in Facebook, but not just their information, but through a loophole, they were actually able to mine the data of everybody in their network. So they built profiles of millions and millions and millions of people, particularly U.S. voters in that context. And were able to target those voters. So they were working with the campaign to find the the what they called the persuadables. And these were the people that they felt could be persuaded with the right kind of negative targeted ads. And then they just flooded the profiles of those people. In any event, you can go check it out. It's on Netflix. And there's still documents from Cambridge Analytica being released just this past week. Mm-hmm. More documents are coming to light. It wasn't just that election. They were involved with the Brexit elections or voting. They were involved with elections around the world for the last 20 years to manipulate data and make basically throw elections. Anyway, how that gets to Facebook is Facebook was the conduit for that. And it made me realize, I was like, you know what? It's time to just get off the bus of this thing. You know what I mean? Like, I need to be able to protect at least the exposure of these targets. And I just thought, I'm not going to play this game anymore. What are your thoughts?
I could easily do without social media myself because I don't get the same gratification I think some other people get from the likes and the followers and things like that. And although I do have a business and I am using that platform in some ways, most of my marketing is coming from speaking and emails. But I will say I do really love Facebook groups, and that's because I house some of my business interactive cohorts and groups on Facebook. And I've done a lot of research to see what other options are available for interactive group cohort platforms. And there aren't any great ones, at least not ones that have lots of different aspects. Like Facebook has so many different things that I can do, live video and links and files and all this stuff. So I like it for business. I don't love it for personal.
Yeah, I hear that a lot when I talk to people about it. And I don't, you know, I mean, for my friends and the people in my network who are using it for some reason that they like, it's fun. Like, I'm not out there to tell people to stop using it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It just, for me, it was just like, I was reaching a point where it was a waste. I'm a person who's sort of suffers from addictive behavior, which is why I quit drinking, which is why I drink 12 cups of coffee a day, et cetera. And Facebook was definitely one of them, mm-hmm. right? But I get it. If you use it for and there's a benefit to it, then all the better.
For me, one, I'm going to sound like the curmudgeon for 2 seconds. I miss what Facebook was initially when it was just for, like, if you were in college or high school or whatever, and you to connect with your friends while they were also in college and high school, and like back when they used to. When did you get on Facebook?
Oh God, I have no idea.
People it was like 2007 to 2010, somewhere in that range.
Well, like for the longest time, they used to like list, like you could list your classes and then what, like who else was in your class before. Like when it was geared towards that audience, I loved it. And then as it opened up, which made sense because the people that made it were growing up and getting older and becoming adults, or some of them billionaires. It made sense to sort of expand, but I kind of wish they'd been a little more focused with it. So I'm still on it. I like being able to see like old friends every now and then that pop up. I much prefer Instagram personally. I kind of wish Facebook, I don't mind that Facebook bought Instagram, but I wish they hadn't implemented their the news feed approach to Instagram. I like the linear chronological approach that Instagram used to have, like so that I could just see the, okay, what's going on right now, not, oh, here's this friend I missed. Like, yeah, you know, just.
So I guess I'm hearing like a Make Facebook Great Again campaign coming from things here.
Yeah.
It's in the future.
Yes. I'll make hats.
Topic number three on this episode's 5x5 is air travel.
Oh.
Air travel.
Oh boy.
You fly a lot, Diggs?
I guess I should say yes.
I feel like you travel a lot. I feel like you fly a lot. Just as your friend.
Yeah, thank you.
Like my observations are you travel.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think I flew maybe 10 times last year.
That's I think starting to get into the moderate level.
Moderate? Yeah, I'll take that.
I think your average person doesn't fly that much.
That's fair. That's
once or twice a year.
I don't mind it. I think it's fine. It's just sort of my thing is I always try to tell people don't approach air travel the same, like if you're going international versus like a hopper flight, like don't approach it the same way.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
It's just That's the only thing that I would say.
There's context.
Yes, to your, to I would your happily travel. Dig into that, but I will ask, what are your thoughts on air travel?
Lauren, do you fly a lot?
I fly a lot. I usually do 3 international trips a year and then 3 to 5 domestic trips a year. Travel is my relief from all the work that I do. But I also do a lot of travel hacking through credit. So a lot of my flights, Airbnb, are paid for. So I just booked a flight to Buenos Aires with my mother and round trip paid $158.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Let me guess, great. Was it mostly tax?
Yeah, actually.
how did you pull this off? Or if you don't mind me pulling the curtain back on that a little bit.
So if you know enough about like credit and how to use that to your advantage, so opening new credit cards to get the sign-on bonuses. And for me, I would never put something on a credit card that I couldn't pay off immediately. So I put everything, utilities, mortgage, car, student loans, everything goes on a credit card through a website called Plastic with a Q at the end. And that just automatically pays those bills, bills my credit. Then I pay the cards off each month. Sometimes I keep them open. Sometimes I close them. But I'm building all these points, all these bonuses from...
Gotcha.
From opening credit.
So you're really good at that. I mean, there's a discipline to it.
Yeah, I mean, people
could that be a slippery slope for some people,
it
right?
It could be. I have an Excel sheet that I try to stick to. Once you get beyond a few cards, you're going to have a tracking system.
You're a master. you need to open up a consulting business. Yeah. You
know what I'm saying? I wish I was good at that.
It's so worth it.
Kind of managing
it's
those.
So worth it.
Yeah, no, I fall into the trap of like, oh, I could get this done and I could do that too. And then it's like, now all of a sudden that limit, that credit limit that was there, was like disappeared. Not that I can't, like, I could like pay it all down in chunks or like budget better, but it just, I'm bad at that.
Yeah, it's a skill. It's definitely a skill. How do you find with all that travel, like, has air travel changed for you, your experiences with it? Like, what do you see out there?
Well, I feel safer, and I think that's just more tech. And I know, like, a lot of people like fear of flying, and I've done some research to like prove them. Like, you're actually more likely to be in an accident on a train than you would in an airplane.
In a train,
more train accidents per year than air accidents.
I mean, I always heard the old car thing. You know,
yeah,
like,
that one's certainly higher. Yeah,
but which is like the number, whatever, one or two or three. But the train?
Yeah.
Like passenger trains?
Yeah. I don't know. I've researched it a couple times and I kept coming across that stat. But.
I'm aware that you were more likely to be hit by a freight train in a car than be in a plane accident. But I've never heard a passenger. I love trains.
Maybe you need to fact check that.
So I want to look into that because that'd actually be very interesting to see.
So let's just say trains are dangerous. Can we just agree? More dangerous than airplanes.
I'm going to register my disapproval of that. We can move on.
Okay.
On the air travel front, though, I would say, to get slightly nerdy for 2 seconds, when Boeing introduced the Dreamliner, so for context, it's wide-body plane with two aisles.
Oh.
What they did was I think it's 80, it's a lot of it is built from composite materials. So it's a lot lighter, more fuel efficient.
Got it.
That them sort of creating that plane opened up like Norwegian Airlines, low cost, transatlantic flights. Well, initially Norway, but they've got an extensive network that goes to the UK, other places in Europe. Mm-hmm. I think they may do some South American stuff based out of here now, based from the States. But then other like low cost carriers started, like really took off. Most of my experience is transatlantic, and just seeing how the prices went down for transatlantic flights as a result of just that one plane and how it affected everything else. And also because it's a lighter, it's, weighs less, they can pressurize it to a lower altitude.
Right.
You feel better when you get where you're going. Because that actually makes
it's like a spa. It's like a spa in the air, man.
I won't go that far, but that stuff does make a difference. So like when people give me things like, oh, what's the best way to get to the UK? I need more information. I can't just go with like flight times.
Right.
Anyway.
You need to know what kind of airplane it is because you know all those things.
Yes.
He's a smart guy. Right. Biggs. Topic number 4 for this episode's 5x5 is Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Which I think is the best holiday. I mean, as far as holidays go. I just love Thanksgiving.
I like the getting together aspect.
Yeah.
It's just so low
pressure.
Are you
pro?
I am pro Thanksgiving. I am pro Thanksgiving. In fact, I think it should just be the somehow. Maybe we should have two.
I'm okay with that.
Like a spring and fall.
I'd like to decouple it from the history.
Yeah. Personally. Okay. Dig into that.
Dave. I would love to move it away from the air quotes traditional like celebration of it. Just so it's not so it's not tied to, you know, massacres of Native Americans.
Sure. And yeah.
Diseases and other stuff being brought over here. But I love the premise of it, getting together, being with people you love, or
kind of what
about.
It is now.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
I mean, it's really become a celebration of that meal, mm-hmm. that particular traditional Thanksgiving mm-hmm. meal, and you know, people have their own sort of stuff that wraps around it.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset about the whole like Black Thursday thing moving in. Like Black Friday just keeps creeping. It's creeping.
That's true.
It's like the blob. It just keeps coming. It's earlier and earlier. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what do you do for Thanksgiving? Anything special?
Interestingly enough, this year I have a roommate, first time in the States, from Poland, and he had nowhere to go. So I took him with me back to my family. And in our long trek to central PA, he said, well, what are your Thanksgiving traditions? And I was like, oh, damn. Do we have any other than eating food? Like, what do we actually do every year for Thanksgiving? That's a tradition. And I'm like, I don't know. We eat turkey.
As a group, though, do you do anything specific? Like, you watch the football game, or no. Do you watch the parade, or mm-hmm. do you play a game, or no?
We've started trying to implement more game-like things because we're like, what do we do here? We're all together. We don't know how to interact and communicate. And this year, I brought some questions, some like deep life questions, like. If you could have anyone for a dinner guest, who would you have and why?
Oh yeah
that, more, kind of more that I've brought that stuff in this year.
How big is the group?
Maybe 15.
Okay,
that's a pretty good a pretty 10, good 15. Size yeah. for dinner. Yeah. Yeah,
all nucleus or like mm-hmm. cousins and
yeah.
okay,
well no sorry cousins there okay. are first
gotcha
yeah.
I think I like it because where I'm at with it in terms of what it means really doesn't have anything to do with pilgrims, you know what I mean, like yeah. or whatever, but it's just really like, all right, let's take a couple of days. It's always the same sort of pattern each year, which is very nice and convenient, mm-hmm. right? It's always that Thursday, Friday. You don't have to like, what the hell day is Thanksgiving mm-hmm. this year? How's
that's
that, how's that going to affect school and all that kind of crap? You know, it's like, it's very so tight, true. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, let's give thanks. And mm-hmm. let's not buy each other a bunch of crap. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, let's just get together and hang out. Whoever's preparing the meal is a little more stressed out than whoever's showing up with the pie.
This is true.
unless they're, you know, making everything from scratch or whatever, there might be a little bit of stress there. But it's a relatively stress-free mm-hmm. Holiday. Mm. And, you know, I've noticed that, you know, a lot of groups or people or families have these, they've sort of created their own little traditions, right? Yeah. Or these certain activities that they do around that day, which is a lot of fun compared to some other holidays, which are just, you know, a lot more work. Let's put it that way. There's an intensity around some of these other holidays. Yet it's not just like a throwaway holiday. Like, you know, I don't know. What would be a throwaway holiday? I don't mean by throwaway. Like, I'm going to get ready for the hate mail.
Yeah, I was like, ooh,
I better watch what I'm saying, you know.
Not touching that one.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, where some people, you could sort of take it, like Valentine's Day is coming up. You know, it's like a lot of people don't really do any, it's not like a all-encompassing holiday.
That's fair.
Whereas stores, for the most part, used to be closed on Thanksgiving, and now they're just open because of corporate greed. Dicks?
Well, I think it was a friend of my sister. So my sister lives in Europe, and they were complaining about Black Friday being a thing over there. Like, it's like, we don't do Thanksgiving. Why are we?
Why do we have Black Friday?
Black Friday sales. But because of everything being connected and the internet and Amazon and all American stuff being as big as they are, apparently now Black Friday is a thing outside the States. So
crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And it's, I never would have imagined that but you know, it's just the evolution of things.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see what happens with Black Friday in these sort of post-retail world that we're coming to.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I mean, Amazon has really changed it, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, there's no denying it.
Yeah.
When big box stores at the malls are just closed
mm-hmm.
and you drive by a mall and there's like vacancies mm-hmm. in some of these big places, it's really going to be interesting to see what effect that has on on that tradition or that part of it. You know, are we even going to have retail in 10 years?
That's
like
a good question.
Like big stores where people go and buy stuff? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
That was perfect.
Well, you know, we've been doing this for a while. 10 episodes, Dix. It's a long time. Our final topic for today's episode of 5x5 is telephone, or telephony, as me as a dad would say, as part of a dad joke. Telephony.
Well, now, what's the joke?
Well, because you mispronounce things. Dads mispronounce things.
Oh, okay. Got
like it. Intentionally.
Yeah.
Just to drive the kids batty. They think it's cute when they're little. They giggle. They become middle schoolers. They're embarrassed by it. They become high schoolers. They completely ignore you.
Mm.
It's a thing.
That's fair.
Telephony.
So, I don't know.
Telephone is the topic. Whatever you want to talk about with telephones. Lauren, where are you with telephones? Do you like them?
I do because I can have everything I want right in my hands, which is so nice. And I can use my phone for so many things. Like I can do business projects on it, and I can do graphic designs, and I can record video, and it just can do all these things.
Mm.
Telephones have become a computer. It's a computer.
Yeah, totally.
It's like
is.
A computer with a phone app.
Mm-hmm.
Is what a phone is now.
I just watched when Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone in whatever year, 07?
07, yeah, 2007. Yeah.
I'd never seen the announcement before. It popped up and I was like, he starts off by saying, oh, this is going to be, we're introducing 3 new products. And then a phone, an internet communicator, and some other thing. I don't remember what the third one was. And then he was like, it's all one thing, guys. Like, if you've never seen that.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of the, okay.
Yeah. And so I realized as soon as he started talking, I was like, oh, this is going to be a gimmick and this is how he sold it and ha ha ha. But it's so true. Like, it's like the phone now can't be uncoupled from mobile cell device. Like, you don't think about landlines anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or like I was just watching The Crown and seeing all the, rewatching the first season. And all the crap it took to get, what's Queen Elizabeth's sister's name? Whatever her name is, connected to the queen, and they had to unplug this cord to plug into this room. Is the queen there? No. And then
going from room to room.
Yeah, room to room from the central
phone,
or whatever you call it, the switchboard.
Yeah,
like literally switching things, and now it's just give me a number, I'm calling you to.
I of all the technology that we sort of use, consumer-based technology that we use, the evolution of the phone is, to me, just the most remarkable.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Like a television is you know what I mean? It's still a box with a screen that you watch shows on. The technology behind it, you laugh at.
I don't know why.
I'm just saying, go back 50 years and there's still a thing. Now you had cable and that's been an evolution, and satellite and those sorts of things, the back end of the TV.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the TV itself, right? But the phone, like to go from the thing that was stuck to the wall, you know, like when I was a teenager, the only way to have a private conversation in my house is you would take the phone off the wall, and then you would, the cable was one of those little squiggly cables,
yeah.
And it would stretch about 20 feet. So you would stretch it all the way up the steps of the house and kind of around a corner, and you could have a conversation up there if you kind of held your hand in front of it like that, you know,
yeah.
and you could talk to your friend, your girlfriend or whatever. And that was it. Like that's, you were stuck. Because it was stuck to the kitchen wall.
Yep.
And to just, and you know, the idea of coming home and seeing a flashing light on your answering machine meant that there was a message. And you would rewind it. You're like, hey, this is grandma. I just wanted to see if you want to come for supper. Call me back. Beep. You know, and that was it. And it was a little cassette that was inside the
answering. Yeah, it's definitely less touch, less textile.
And you think about that evolution, it's just remarkable. If somebody would have said to me even 20 years ago that for the size of a pack of cigarettes, which would have also made sense 20 years ago, doesn't today. But for the size of a pack of cigarettes, I would have a device in my pocket and to do all the things you mentioned, Lauren.
Yeah.
Even just what you mentioned.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the other things it can do.
Beyond that.
Yeah.
You know, it's so futuristic and mind-blowing to think about the capability of that device.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, because we came to it gradually,
right?
You know, we went from the PDA, we went from the computer to the PDA to the.
We came to it gradually, but my sister, like we can remember like the tapes and
sure,
but because that was what we had growing up. Or I know I did. I'm not going
to
speak for you, but sort of going through that transition, like the transition from that to realizing like, oh, dial up, we can have internet in the house. What's that? Like, to me, that seems so quick. But then my sister, she's 7 years younger than me. She doesn't remember the dial up. She doesn't remember when we had an answering machine, and or she might remember the answering machine because mom held on to that for a while. But like, you know, the first thing that she kind of saw phone wise was like, I think my BlackBerry or whatever.
Sure.
Like cell phone I had in middle school, and mom had a cell phone, but it's just like the folks born in like 99, 2000 and after that.
Sure.
You could probably, I would love to see an episode, there's that show, I think it's an internet show where they show kids like old games.
Oh.
And they try to figure out how to like use like the SNES and or, you know, like Sega. And they're just like, what is
this? Can't do it.
No.
Can't do it.
Be amazing.
I was watching a YouTube video of Pong. I don't know if you guys know Pong.
Oh.
I had Pong.
You know Pong?
10.
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Original video game. It was about 1980. We got Pong. It was this box. And it was two lines and a circle. And the circle would bounce between the two lines. Yes. And all you had was at least two knobs. My brother and I would sit next to each other. And each with a hand on the dial to move the thing up and down.
Beep, beep.
That was video games. That wasn't that long ago.
No.
I mean, I am seasoned. I'm a seasoned citizen. Lauren, what do you think? 5x5.
It was great. It was fun to know what was coming up. So I had to like think on the spot. And then it's funny how different stories that we all shared triggered other stories.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It flies.
Yeah, it went really fast.
We might need to change this.
Maybe.
5x20.
5x6.
100 minutes of digs and Jason and a very special guest.
I could do six. Five by six.
Thank you so much for joining us on the very special 10th episode.
Oh, thank you for having me on the 10th episode.
Of the Candy Factory 5x5. We'll see you next time.
Yep. Well, they'll hear us next time.
Oh, yeah.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is recorded at the studios of the Candy Factory,
a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs, regularly joining the Yakety Yakking.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast
are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes
can be found on the show post
at the Candy Factory website.
coworkinginlancaster.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.